new manifestation. We would be one. Time for change. That's where my mind has gone in the last few weeks. Maybe it was getting a medical bit of information that jolted my senses. Or maybe it's the constant and ever-present drumbeat of my wife's reminding me that women aren't getting their fair share in this world. Or maybe it's just common sense came to me. I know this much. I was compelled to go purchase a book after I heard former President Jimmy Carter speak back in March. And President Carter really set this in motion. So here was the blurb that I wrote for this service. It's a crisis that manifests itself across the world in the form of child marriage, unequal pay, female genital mutilation, human trafficking, and more. It is the most serious challenge facing our world today, the subjugation and abuse of women and girls. Those words came from President Carter, and I took them to heart. And as I delved more deeply into understanding what he was saying, I learned anew about some of the practices in African traditional societies. I learned anew what goes on with the inequality of glass ceilings and the abuse that women undergo in the workplace. I learned anew about what goes on in female prisons and the not unusual practice of women getting pregnant while they're in prison. Prison guards impregnating the inmates. I learned more, and as I learned more, I got more and more agitated. I got more and more upset. See, I didn't grow up thinking women couldn't do, achieve, be anything they wanted to be. My mother, who sat in here a couple weeks ago, little addled as she is at 90, was a tower of power, and she reminded me and my brother every day, your arms are too short to box with me. Little mental midgets don't even step to me, because we were not equipped to deal with a woman that was strong and intelligent, educated, and capable. I just didn't know women, at least so I thought, that were under any oppressive systems. My grandmother put my grandfather out at about 68 or so when she found out he was a no good cheat. Yeah, he was. She got tired of him, and he came home one day, and there was a single bed that had been a queen-size bed. There was a new bedroom set that was of her liking, not his. She said, "Good day, sir. This is done." You see? So I wasn't aware, really, on that conscious level that women were undergoing so much trouble. See, Bella Abzug and Shirley Chisholm were the heroes of my day. Shoot, burning bras. I mean, my sister came to Thanksgiving without a bra on, and it caused a fury in that household. How dare she? What does she think is going on here? I really wasn't aware. But I think that's what everybody likes to say when they know oppression's going on. Racism in our midst. Homophobia in our midst. Ageism in our midst. Able-bodyism in our midst. And we turn a blind eye. We quietly walk away when we know we ought to do something, say something, be an active participant in changing something. Well, I've decided after much prompting and really and truly, if I went into ministry to dismantle oppression, well, what's more important than dismantling the oppression that afflicts more than 50% of the human family? How can I say I'm for justice and idly stand by while my colleagues in ministry get less salary than men do in ministry? Because the truth be told, as liberal and progressive as Unitarian Universalism is, women still earn less for doing the same work as men. Women still get the MRE positions, or the associate position, or the assistant ministry position. Women aren't getting their fair share in this most progressive denomination, and I know the entirety of our society, women aren't getting their fair share. It's time to change. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. So we've been on this battle front for a long time. In fact, back in 2003, the action of immediate witness says, whereas the Unitarian Universalist principles call upon us to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person, so forth and so on, the association and its member congregations have consistently spoken and acted in support of a broad spectrum of women's rights, including women's rights to control their own bodies. People are trying to take that back, aren't they? Women's rights to equal pay for comparable work. Women's rights to be safe from domestic violence. Domestic violence, folks, is running amok in this society. You've got highfalutin women now who are still hiding, still wearing makeup, still going on vacations. This isn't just about the poor, the working class, the blue collar, the drug addict, the drunkard. This is about men exercising abusive powers. It's running rampant. And it's so bad now, our girls in high school. These boys, these male creatures, have the audacity to abuse girls in the high schools. I asked our sons how many girls they knew had bruises and marks and cowered when their boyfriends barked. Each one of the boys told me they were witness to it. I said, what have you done? They put their heads down. They said, stay out of it. You see, I'm one of those foolish do-gooders that almost got himself killed. I was coming across 125th Street some time ago in front of the post office on the west side. Must be closer to Amsterdam or St. Nicholas, somewhere on the west side of 125th Street in Harlem. And I saw a man beating a woman. And I stopped my car and I got out. And I put my hands on him and said, you can't do this. I did it lovingly. I tried to say no. He struck me and pulled out a gun. He said, I'll kill you and her. And she told me, I should mind my business, sir. Go your way. Yeah, you better get out of here. So this is what's going on. It's alive and well and functioning all in our midst. We don't have to read the newspaper. I would dare say somebody in here knows somebody, friend or family, that's been abused. Is there one of you that knows a woman that hasn't been abused? So, you see, our association has passed this kind of resolution, and yet, where are we on this most important subject? Where are the everyday workshops? And you want to say something about immediate witness? Then we need to go to the state houses, the city halls, the public institutions, the private institutions, everywhere we can, and show support for women. Why isn't there a woman in the hierarchies of all the institutions of our country? Because there are places where y'all still ain't welcome, right? Social clubs and things where men smoke their cigars and talk all kinds of nonsense. I'm not proud of the male behaviors that I am becoming increasingly aware of. And when I think of the heroes that are in my life, I named like Bella Abzug and Shirley Chisholm and my mama. And I'm going to dare say Hillary Clinton, because she's been able and willing to go places many other women either didn't have the opportunity to or didn't have the will to. Imagine being a woman doing international diplomacy with men in these societies that don't even allow a woman to drive a vehicle. or go to China, right, and deal with a place where infanticide and primarily female babies are the ones that they practice infanticide on are the ones suffering, right? And deal face to face, eyeball to eyeball with men that don't see you as their equals. So I'd like to lift up Hillary. I don't know if she's going to be our next president, but I'm looking for a woman to step up and run. Maybe do something radically different in a nation that's been under the control and domination of men, and mostly white men, but black men got a bad track record where this equal thing is with women. Huh? Latino men, bad track record. Asian men, bad track record. I don't know any group of men that have a good record, save the individual, progressive, liberal type that are dotted throughout the landscape, right? Men as a whole, where are they? I have got a newfound goal in mind, a new manifestation, a new call to action that says, if I'm going to be the man I think I am, brought to this life by women, nurtured by women, because my daddy sure never stayed home to care for me. Nurtured by woman. Yesterday, my cousins fixed a meal for me, and I was the only man in a house filled with my wife, my daughter, my sister, five of my cousins, and nothing but food. They didn't know I wasn't feeling well. I put on a happy face and ate all I could, even tried to boogie-woogie with them just for a few minutes, because the women in my family are the nurturers, the lovers, the givers. Daddy left me something in his will, and he left me a legacy of being a good man, but that good man was limited. How many of us have limited men in our lives? They're all right, you know. They go to work, bring home the tofu or the bacon, right? Tofu, bacon, yeah, we got tofu bacon now. You don't even have to kill anything to get the taste. But They're not where you would ideally place them. See, this time for change idea means maybe all the gendered ideals that have been constructed over the past several thousand years have to be dismantled. Maybe I'm straight and you're gay and you're a man and I'm a woman and you're the third sex, because India has the third sex, right? Oh. Men who are being abused, men who have their penises cut off so other men can abuse them. That's what the third sex is. Were you aware of that? Oh, and they got millions of them in India. As soon as a little boy is identified as gay, they turn him into the third sex. He becomes the plaything for other males. A new manifestation, a new call. If we would be one human family, divorced from the isms that separate. We've got to change this thing. I don't know if it's like the future world that the 1970s projected, where we would literally dress the same, cut our hair the same. I'm not talking about us not being beautiful individual flowers, right? Wildflowers are in a field together, aren't they? So the human flowers have to be able to be together and not be the same. But there's something about the new ways we're going to have to relate if we're going to be holy, if we're going to seek higher ground, if we're going to be responsible in our understandings of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Happiness requires a different way of being for people now. I can't stand idly by and watch this mess go on any further. I don't want to see music videos. I don't want to hear most popular music. It makes women sexual objects, objectified. I'm sick of it. I've got to listen to some Pete Seeger or something. I don't know how happy I'm going to be all the time with Pete. I love Pete, but I don't want to hear him all the time. But I've got to hear some different kind of music, because contemporary music is fraught with indiscretions and indecent things, and it's mostly women who are the ones being on the lower side of it. Shakira is a beautiful young lady, but her sexuality is what's leading the way. I don't want a world devoid of sexuality. I like it. Hell, I like it a lot. Glad I've got, you know, some of that still in me. But we need to not sell it. It shouldn't be what people lead with. Open up any magazine. It shouldn't be what we're about. We've got an opportunity to reach for higher ground. Our intelligence can take us to places yet dared to visit. We haven't been there yet. We got to get there. This world needs us to change. And the change has to begin with each of us. If you think you've already been on the spectrum towards equal life and status and everything, that's beautiful. But did you take your friends and your family members with you? You can't be the only voice of reason. You've got to find a way to make it a collective change. I've lived 52 years and it seems like the blink of an eye. It's nothing in the long eons of human experience. But I know this much. When I walk the halls of hospitals, women seem to get the lesser treatments. When I walk the halls of the prisons, I see men who have been abusive to men and women. When I go into the school system, I see lots of mothers and very few men. I can't accept what goes on. I tell my sons daily, if I can, you gotta change, boy. You can't remain the same as you are today. See, a human being that's not willing to change is a human being that's lost or shackled by history and dogma. Change is what we should be about. Transformation. Elevated status. Lofty ideals that we climb. That's not Jacob's ladder. It's Sarah's ladder. We're trying to get up on top of something now. Help me get there. So here we are in Orange, New Jersey, right? Or East Orange. What's the issues going on here for women? What's the graduation rate of girls from these high schools? What's the college graduation rate of the females in this county? Is it so skewed by race and class that only those of a particular spectrum are doing well and the others aren't? I'm not sure I have all the information I need to have, but I tell you, I'm going to put myself to it. I'm going to find out. I'm going to ask you questions. I need to know more. We need to be about change. Girls Inc. Is there a chapter of Girls Inc. in this town? You even know what Girls Inc. is. How about the Girl Scouts? When's the last time we hosted a Girl Scout troop here in this community? And there's a UU, what's that organization? It's like the Boy Scouts. Navigators. Navigators. We could host a Navigators group here for the children of the community and make it focused on the girls. Huh? Who focuses on girls of color? Oh, those seeking prostitutes do. Those seeking to abuse somebody, clean up their relatives' and dirty diapers, or wash their dirty clothes do. Huh? I was reading in the Ebony magazine and got an issue about an article about dating, teenage dating. Oh, black girls are the last girls chosen in the dating spectrum now. I love my wife, but I dip her in some chocolate because I felt so bad about it. I said, what does that say to the world? Because I fell in love with a white woman. But the reality is, it's not just me. It's black boys all over the spectrum. And it's not just black boys. It's white boys. It's Asian boys. It's Latino boys. Somehow black women are at the bottom. Well, baby, we got to do something about that because they don't deserve to be on the bottom. Unless, of course, that's a private affair, right? All right. Something's got to change. And we've got to be the change agents. So Jimmy Carter called us to action. Words and deeds. Jimmy Carter on women's rights. His presidential decree, April 28, 2014. Jimmy Carter, President of the United States, former president, is known for his staunch opinions on matters ranging from peace in Palestine to poetry and peanuts. He is a prolific author with more than 24 books to his name since he left the White House. Has there been a more important public figure than him in the last 20 years? That man builds houses. He goes around the globe seeking to do justice works. In his latest book, A Call to Action, Women, Religion, Violence, and Power, he examines gender-based violence and religious persecution of women, something he calls the most serious challenge facing us now. When the church, the masjid, the temple, the wicked circle, when any religious institution is the place where women are being abused, it's time to tear down. If I can do nothing else but have an interfaith dialogue with the clergy around this area and push women's issues and rights to my colleagues, I'll have done something. We've got to do it. And I know we will, because you all are people of action. You're people of good faith. You kept this institution going. That means you got faith in a tomorrow, because it isn't just the few of you that who's going to make this great happening event. You have faith that something more was coming. That something more is coming. And it's in your hands now. We're going to do something together. Mr. Carter's theory that these attitudes of male dominance and power are not groundbreaking. We all know it, right? But he examines the laundry list of worthy issues which the global developmental community has rallied in recent years, including sexual discrimination, human trafficking, and institutionalized rape and child marriage. I'm going to tell you one more story. I have a friend, Sister Bernadette Ito. She's a Catholic nun. She was the founder and chief executive officer of a not-for-profit in Nigeria that took care of AIDS patients and families. Sister Bernadette told me when her father died that for 1 year after his death, her mother had to cook and clean the house, keep it on ever ready so that his relatives and others could come in to examine her. I said, examine her? What was that? Women in Nigeria, and I'm not happy with Nigeria, women in Nigeria are believed to have murdered their husbands if they outlive them. And you must be examined and questioned for a year after the death of your husband. This 70-something-year-old woman had to go to the local stream or river and bathe herself in it and walk through the village naked because they believed that witchery, sorcery, nonsensical things were still operational, and only if she could walk through the village naked could she be somewhat free. She then went on to tell me that women don't have any property rights in Nigeria, and that upon her father's death, the home that they purchased and built together went to his brother's control. Well, we've got it here in these United States. Code Napoleon down in Louisiana, in a divorce case of a woman's husband, even if it was her house, gets the house in a divorce. It's operational now. This abuse made me sick to my stomach. And I said, Sister Bernadette, what can be done? She said, Reverend Bailey, Nigeria doesn't have the will to change, so I left. Nigeria, where they steal young girls from schools. But it's not Nigeria alone. It's a global problem. And President Carter calls our attention to it. And so today, I pledge my own commitment to eradicating what I can of this oppressive behavior. I cook, I clean, I do windows and ovens. I'm my mother's caretaker primarily. I'm not afraid to do what some ascribe as woman's work, and I do it proudly. I warn other men to do the same. I want us to talk to the men we know about how they treat the women in their lives. It's everyone's work, but it's really a man's duty to call another man into a change of behavior. Have private conversations with all the males you know. Check in, folks. Let's get this thing going. Let's change the world, even if it's just the people we know and love. It starts now. It should last the rest of the days of your life. I pray that this work be done and we be successful and that we get others on board. Thank you, President Carter. Thank you all for hearing me today. Thank you for so many things that I left unsaid. Amen. 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 Come on, we gotta, where is our holy church? Number one, 1-3.